Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. We've got some legislation that's out there affecting downtown Grand Rapids property owners. I guess some people would argue it's in the sake of fairness.
Like every issue in life, it depends on where you sit and what perspective you're coming from. And boy, for folks who live in downtown, such as Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Holland, any downtown, and you've got a generation that wants to live back in downtowns in the urban areas again. Pay attention to this. This is our cover story this week in MIBiz about some legislation that's to come. Was previously passed in the legislative session, but vetoed by former Governor Rick Snyder. This would basically, in a nutshell, you have the downtowns, you have organizations that kind of manage a lot of things, like basically keeping the place up, cleaning sidewalks, cleaning streets, landscaping, the flower planting, things like that. That's all part of the appeal that makes a downtown an attractive place to live. Those assessments these organizations charge generally are not charged on residential property owners. The legislation that's to come, and it's backed by the Michigan Municipal League, would allow, kind of give it a better route for these taxing authorities to decide whether property owners, the residential property owners in these business improvement districts, should also pay these assessments that commercial property owners pay. And then those funds go to provide those services and amenities that keep up that district. Again, it passed in the previous legislation. Rick Snyder vetoed it, said that this is an issue that needs a little more discussion. And it's an issue that really goes back. I've heard this issue for many years in my reporting career. Is it fair to have residential property owners pay an assessment that's geared toward the benefit of commercial properties? I.e., it makes a commercial business district more attractive. You bring in more commercial development and improvements. Well, the argument is that what's occurring in that district with these improvements is what makes that particular area attractive to live, to rent an apartment, to buy a condominium. Therefore, those residential property owners should pay that assessment as well. It's a debate, another debate that's coming in Lansing, and again, if you're somebody who lives in a downtown district, you want to pay attention to this one. And the way this legislation is apparently going to be written, it would require 60% of the people within a district to approve that assessment. So there is a voice given to the kind of the local residential base there. And then the organization, such as Downtown Grand Rapids, Inc., it would give that local decision-making to decide whether to even try to do this. And then the property owners would have a voice on whether they wish to accept it.
Are businesses lobbying?
This story that's written by my coworker here at Sydney Smith, we really looked at it from that origin. You don't see business organizations lobbying for it. I would imagine if I'm a business within a downtown district paying this assessment, I would say it's only right for all property owners down here to pay for it. But right now, it's more of an issue of the residential side.
So we're talking about small businesses in downtown Grand Rapids. Often they need health care coverage. And you have a story on Transcend Association Health Plan. You say it's off to a good start and will be offering some coverage options for those small businesses.
Yeah, this is something formed in October. We discussed it on the show back in October. It was formed by the Small Business Association of Michigan and the Michigan Business and Professional Association based over in Warren. This is an association health plan. Little background, President Trump in 2017 signed an executive order expanding the use of association health plans. These are basically health plans that allow common businesses, in this case, small businesses, whether common industry type or in a geographic region, to come together, unite, and form a common risk pool. What that does is by having all those small businesses, all those lives covered from those small businesses in a single risk pool, they then qualify for large group coverage. And as large group coverage instead of small business coverage, they get out from some of the mandates of the Affordable Care Act, some of the coverage mandates, some of the benefit mandates, and some of the fees and taxes on that. Bottom line, it may make coverage a little bit more affordable. So the Small Business Association and Michigan Business and Professional Association last fall formed this Transcend AHP. And in the first few months of enrollment, first 4 months, they have more than 1,400 contracts and more than 300 businesses that have enrolled in this. And talking to Rob Fowler, who runs Transcend, he's also CEO of SBAM, he says that's kind of exceeding what they expected. They expected by the end of the first year to have about 2,000 contracts. He now believes they could get to 3,000 to 3,500 within the first year. So bottom line, it's off to a good start. This points to all of this, you know, small businesses, and I don't know how they do it, that want to provide health benefits to their employees. Here's an option. Here's another option to at least explore and look at. Rob says about 20 to 30% of the companies that have come forward and asked for a quote, they are saving some money. They are getting a reduction. Those reductions are coming in about 20% from what they were paying previously. And again, it seems to be decent, good, robust coverage.
That has to be impacting the Affordable Care Act.
There is some thinking about these association health plans when it comes, they come out that this is going to affect the small group market across the country in each state, that as small businesses migrate from their small group coverage into an association health plan and go into large group coverage, that's going to affect that small group market. Now, we're early in this game. You know, the data's early, but some of the early data says maybe 1% or 2% on the premium it will affect small group covers, that it may rise because it's getting a smaller risk pool. Bottom line, these AHPs, they look like they're here to stay. The Congressional Budget Office updated a report here in January that said it roughly expects about 4.6 million people to be covered by these things by 2022. There's another outfit called Avalere Health. It's a consulting firm out of D.C. It's expecting it could go as high as 4.3 million people within a few years. These clearly have some appeal to small businesses, which have been hit pretty hard for years, if not decades, on their health premiums. So if you're a small business owner, you're trying to do the right thing, here's an option to at least look at. It may not work for everybody, and the folks behind this are the first to say that. Won't work for everybody. You might not get some savings, but it's at least an option to look at.
Something new, same with the entrepreneurial spirit here in West Michigan, local tech startups. They could be getting a little boost here by Start Garden Inc. and Grand Rapids Smart Zone.
Yeah, this is a new contract. You know, we've had the Smart Zone here in Grand Rapids for a number of years, trying to seed entrepreneurial activity, technology startups, and you know, kind of a new age of entrepreneurism across the state, actually. And there's a new contract. Start Garden has been administering the Grand Rapids Smart Zone for a couple of years. And this new contract they've finally come to after a number of months of going back and forth would kind of change a few things. Mostly it goes to kind of an outcome-based contract. In an all contract, especially in the public sector, you always want to have metrics and measures on how's it working? Are they meeting the objectives, the goals? And the objectives here are changed to more outcomes-based, such as we want 10 businesses to move into our Smart Zone Business Incubator annually. We want 6 businesses over a 2-year period, 6 of those moving in there over 2 years, to be minority or female owned. That's that issue of diversity and making sure this whole entrepreneurial climate is extending to everybody, because that indeed does matter if you look at some of the data out there. So it's kind of a new style contract. It'll go to the board at the city, the local development finance authority. It goes up for a vote this Friday, but it's a contract between the Smart Zone and Start Garden that's been in the works for a number of months, and they really had kind of some issues to work through to make sure they were on the same wavelength and looking at the same things. But bottom line, it kind of twist things a little bit, tweaks things to make it more of, rather than measuring activity, how many people attended this event this month, how many meetings did you take? It looks at more of what's the outcome, and then Start Garden gets the flexibility to start, you know, adjusting. As things adjust out there, they can adjust the operation to meet those outcomes.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Talk to you again.